Hi, Juliet the Rabbi here, coming to you from New York City, realrabbinyc.com. So happy to be with you here this week. Last week, I didn't write my blog. I didn't do my podcast. Maybe you noticed, maybe you didn't. It's because, you know, I had so many thoughts and ideas, but nothing stuck enough for me to have something solid to say. I mean, there was the priestly blessing in Parshat Naso, may God shine God's light upon you, may God turn God's face towards you. And then there was this magic spell of put on a woman suspected of cheating on her husband, her jealous husband. Yes, the Bible sanctifies magic. But as Shavuot descended upon us last Thursday, it became clear to me that I would not be writing. It was the revelation I needed, maybe the revelation with a capital R, as received on Mount Sinai on Shavuos. The revelation was, as pointed out by my friend, that I'm entering new territory in my life, preparing for weddings, the three weddings I've been talking to you about, that I will be sanctifying as part of that new journey. And another one is the capstone project that I did before my smicha, before my ordination. I had to do it last year by the summer. So for this project, I formed a group of Jewish women clergy. And this group came as a revelation itself last year. And we're getting very close to launching our website, which is very exciting. It came to me as an idea after more than 2 years of pandemic and trying to, quote, go it alone as a leader. The whole time let's just say I was very lonely. It felt impossible. I was doing everything people told me to do to get my name out there, but I had no community. And my dream had always been to lead in community with other Jewish clergy and hopefully women. But I had the opposite experience. And during maybe I've talked about this before, when I was an intern at my synagogue, the rabbinic intern, I had the opposite experience where I was competing with the women, not leading with them. Or it felt like they were competing with me and that I was encroaching somehow on their territory, and it felt horrible. And I have to say that the impossibility of the task during my isolation during the pandemic, it made me feel kind of like a failure. Nobody was coming to my services in the park. I have since found out why. I have an inkling as to why, and I think it came from a male who was spreading rumors about me in a negative, obviously negative way that made people uninterested in coming. So it's interesting, that whole male thing, you know. Even though I'm not a male, I have something in common with Moses. Because this week in Torah, Moses too feels like a failure. So what's happening? The people are moving from camp to camp. They're moving their camp. They're picking it up. They're moving the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, during their journey through the desert. And they move from territory to territory, from new territory to newer territory. They're never in one stable place for more than a month, maybe a year. They're moving a lot and they're full of complaints. I mean, the lack of stability absolutely would cause anyone to feel demoralized and complain. And in addition to that, they're remembering the varied and delicious foods that they ate in Egypt, especially the meat. And Moses knows that he can't satisfy these people or provide them, especially with meat. How is he going to do that for 600,000 people, I think? Am I remembering that number correctly? I don't know. So Don't quote me on that, please. So he feels like he's failed as a leader, and he cries out to God, "Why do you burden me with this people as if I birthed them? Did I birth them? Did they come from my body? Am I to do this alone?" And God responds, "No, you don't have to do it alone." Not only is Moses to assign 70 elders to help him, but God will be the one to provide the meat that they crave. Lots and lots of meat until the people are sick. I imagine that now that Moses, now Moses feels relieved to have some burden lifted from his shoulders, and he's a little less lonely. And when I think of the loneliness that I felt as a developing Jewish leader, as a developing rabbi during the depths of the pandemic, I'm thankful now that that is coming to an end for me. So Moses gets his male elders as support, but I crave the co-leadership of women. It's what drove me to start something that would reflect the very much needed shifting paradigm in Judaism and in the world. It's a shift from competitive and male-dominated to one of true and genuine support, cooperation, and co-creation among women, not what I experienced. And it was because of my experience as the intern, like I said before, that I got this idea, that this idea was revealed to me as something that was needed. And let me tell you, the women that are in the group, everyone is so grateful for it. So grateful. Even when we feel like we're inching along bit by bit, putting this website together, figuring out what we're going to do together, they are so, so grateful for the group. They look forward to it because this is like the highlight of their week. And it is for me too. It's like this is a chance we get to cooperate with each other, to co-create, and to really support each other and to hear each other out and to... Yeah, I mean, as we struggle through life, everybody says, this is what I want, this is what I want. So I didn't even realize that this was just something that I wanted. This is something that a lot of women want. And so here I am entering new territory. I have my Jewish women's clergy group, COVID style, meaning we are dispersed around the country, but we're brought together by a common goal and the gift of the internet, a world wide web indeed. And we're going to offer a great variety of services and serve we plan to. I can't say how this is going to affect my blog and my podcast going forward. That is unknown. I'll see where I'm led. But just know that I'll be finding a new rhythm to my writing, meaning perhaps I won't be doing it weekly, or my podcast, perhaps I won't be doing it weekly. When I do my writing, when I blog, I also do the podcast. So they kind of mirror each other. They're similar in content. I just include more in my podcast because, you know, you can talk more. So now I'm going to end with a description of the manna of which the Israelites complained so bitterly. This week's Parsha says that it's like a thick cream. And as monotonous as eating the same food can become, thick cream doesn't sound too bad. It's not dry crackers, right? And since magic is sanctified in the Bible, and that magic sounds none too bad, perhaps we can be inspired to wonder if magic is possible for us as well. We may not need manna to rain down on us, but we definitely need some water to fall from the sky. And just as manna fell in the right quantities for the people, for the Israelites, let's pray that rain may rain down upon us in exactly the right quantities as well. Not too much, not too little. We don't want flooding. We want it to just nourish the earth so that the earth can continue to nourish us. And may God shine God's light upon us and turn God's face toward us. And say amen. And until next time, have a good week. Shabbat shalom. Good Shabbos. See see you soon.